But ain't it amazing how that God was robed in flesh? Amen. When the Word became, the Bible says this in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things was made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life in Him was light, and light, and His light was the life of men. Or in Him was life, and His life was the light of men. The Bible says in verse number 11, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can you imagine God? It amazes me, okay, and that God moves inside of us the way that He does when the Holy Ghost saves us. Amen. When we get saved, God moves inside of us. Understand that. We've got as much God in us, all right, as there is in heaven. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And God the Holy Ghost is not any less God than God the Father, God the Son. Amen. He lives inside of us, but when you think about all the power and majesty and glory and honor that was wrapped up in that little baby, man. Man, what a God. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter number 18, we're going to try to finish what the Lord started last Sunday. And I pray the Lord to help us this morning and be a blessing to you. And we're going to read down through there. We're going to start in about verse number 16, and we're going to read from there on down. And last week we talked about the plan of God and how that God had His plan was in Matthew chapter number 1, and how that it was we seen the protection of God, and how that for 42 generations listed. And how that God protected that lineage and that line. And then how that we've seen the provision of the promise. And we've seen there in verse number 16. And then we looked a little bit at the presentation of the promise. And we're going to look today, Lord being our helper, in verse number 18, at the particulars of His birth. The particulars of His birth. And you pray for us this morning and pray that God would help us today to be a blessing to you. And pray that God would remind us why we celebrate Christmas. And not to take away from any of the festivities, but at the same time to make us more understanding and to realize that it's because of Christmas that there's a cross. But the reason there is Christmas is because there is a cross. Amen. Amen. I mean, think about it. It's vice versa. It was all in God's plan before the foundation of the world. And we're going to look this morning, Lord being our helper. Man, it was an eternity in the planning. Think about that just for a moment. The Bible says that He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So it was in eternity in planning. Amen. Before this world ever was, it was already a plan. Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But I like that part, and we're going to preach on that a little bit this morning, that God was manifested in these last times for you. You realize that Christmas comes to you this year. And Christmas come to you about 2,000 years ago. But we're going to see the particulars of this birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as I said, remember, these 42 generations in these first 16 or 17 verses here, these 42 generations mentioned, that's not counting the 20 generations before Abraham. There was 20 generations from Adam to Abraham. And then there's 42 generations from Abraham there to Christ. And we see how that God's plan has been in effect this whole time. And let's look at the particulars of His birth. And let's look in verse number 18. The Bible says this, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thank God for that. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, Lord, that you give us to be in the house of God, Lord, this Sunday before Christmas. Lord, what better place to be, God, than to be in your house, than to, Lord God, on the Sunday before, God, we celebrate, Lord, the birth of our Savior. Father, I pray this morning that you would take us and use us, Lord, today for your honor and your glory. Help us to magnify Jesus. Help us to glorify you. Help us, Lord God, to lift up the name that is above all names. And Lord, help us to see, God, the pride, God, that you took, Lord, in redemption, and God, the process, and God, the particulars, God. It wasn't just some haphazard event, God, my redemption, Lord, but God, my redemption, God, was planned before the foundation of the world, and God, as it culminated, Lord, at that first Christmas, and Lord, and God, as we still see it going on today, and God, today, I get to stand before this people, God, and before you, and God, to proclaim the great message that a Savior is born into this world. God, thank you again for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for God showering me in your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Alfred Edersheim, he wrote the book, The Times and Life of the Messiah. He was a Jewish scholar. He says there's over 476 different verses concerning the coming Messiah. In your Old Testament, there's over 476 verses. Now remember, we talked last Sunday that there was 42 generations that God has mentioned in the verses 1 through 16 or 1 through 17 there. But then we get to where Jesus is born. And man, do you understand that everything in this book is leading to two appearings of the Savior? The Old Testament was looking for the first appearing of the Savior. They were looking for the coming Messiah. And now we are in the New Testament and we're under the New Covenant. And guess what? We're looking for the coming Savior. Amen. Now go back to Isaiah chapter number 7. We're talking about the prophecy of this promise. In verse 22 of Matthew chapter number 1, the Bible referred there to this, the writer Matthew referred there to this prophecy in Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14. And as I said, Edersheim has made the statement that there's 476 different verses alluding to the coming Messiah in the Old Testament. A lot of people say there's 8 different particular prophecies that deal just with the birth of Christ. This is one of those prophecies that God gave, letting the Israel know of the coming Messiah. Now look in Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14. The Bible says this, Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Now if you go back and read here and get the context of this scripture, let's go by and let's read the first 10 verses there, the verses 10 through verse number 14. The Bible here is speaking through Isaiah, and he's talking to Ahaz the king. And he says, Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary man? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. God came to Ahaz and He said, ask of me and I'll give you a sign. Ahaz says, I don't want your sign. Man, God said, I don't care whether you want or not, I'm going to give it to you. I mean, basically, that's what He said. And man, and I was thought about this. Man, that's the first time the rejected story of the Lord. Ahaz had rejected the story of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before he was ever ever born in the prophecy here that God was given through Isaiah to Ahaz, there was a rejected story. And do you know that same story is still being rejected today? But just because there's some that reject the story does not make the story any less true. It does not make the story any less powerful. It does not make the story any less acceptable. Beloved, they can have Santa Claus and they can have Hanukkah, and beloved, but I'm going to celebrate the birth of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And beloved, that's what this season is all about. And just because He's been rejected by the world, and beloved, He's been accepted by us, and may we celebrate and rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Amen. Isaiah said this is going to be a sign. Understand this. Notice what the Bible said. We're talking about the birth of Christ. Verse number 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Understand this. That verse declared God's purpose. Okay, He said, I'll give you a sign. The Lord Himself shall give you a sign. But not only that, I want you to see that it's a personal promise. He said the Lord Himself. He didn't say man's going to give you a sign. He didn't say the devil's going to give you a sign. He didn't say the church is going to give you a sign. He didn't say the Pope's going to give you a sign. He said the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. It declared God's purpose. It declared God's promise. And here we are 742 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was ever born. Beloved, God was prophesying to the nation of Israel saying, I'm going to give you a sign. And beloved, when you see this sign, you can rest assured that I'm told in my word that my promises is true, that my power is still real, and I've not forgot about you as a nation, and I've not forgot about the world. And beloved, understand, as we celebrate Christmas this season, may we be reminded, beloved, that God's got a purpose, that God's got a promise, beloved, that God's preserved His Word, beloved, that God's preserved us, and beloved, as we go into this Christmas season, yes, it's about the birth of Christ, but beloved, it's about some promises, beloved, that God has made unto us. Amen. And not nobody else made it, God made it. We're not the nation of Israel. We're just enjoying the benefits as the church. Amen. He told Ahaz through the prophet to ask for a sign, but he refused. As I held up this tract this morning in Sunday school, the greatest story ever told. Man, we have the greatest story ever told. It was the birth of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto the city into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And lo, the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And beloved, we get to celebrate the greatest story ever told this week. The greatest story ever told. And guess what? You and I are characters in that story. Amen. We're in that story. I'm in that story. For unto you, and we're going to look at that, unto you, they said, is born. It was a promise to them, but it was manifested to us. Don't you think about that just a moment. I'm going to read this verse to you. We're going to go look at it as we get toward the end. The Bible said this, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Do you realize as a child, as a human being, you're living in the greatest time outside the Garden of Eden right now? You're living in the day of grace. The only better time, listen to me, the only better time was in the day of innocence. You didn't have to bring no lamb this morning, did you? You didn't have to bring no turtle dove. You didn't have to wonder whether or not you was going to be accepted by God when you come into His house this morning. Amen? We were going through the book of Romans on Wednesday night. We don't have to keep the law. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm talking about we're living in the day of grace, the greatest time that man could ever be born or live in. Hey, I'm not, there's going to be some born in the tribulation. Guess what? I ain't going to be there. Amen. There's going to be some born in the millennial. I will be there ruling and reigning with Christ. But guess what? The devil's going to be loose there at the end of 1,000 years for a season. But guess what? I'm living under grace. I'm living in the time of the greatest story ever told. 742 years before it ever happened, God said, I'm going to do this for you. The performance of the promise. Notice here in that verse, Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14, look at the performance. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You understand it took eternity. It was planned throughout eternity. Listen to me. The process began 42 generations before. Go back and read the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. We went through that last Sunday. 42 generations before. But beloved, I like that part where I read you a while ago. It was manifested in these last days for you. Now, I don't know if Jesus Christ was born on December the 25th. But I do know this. I know that He was born. Amen. I don't know exactly the date, but I do know that some 2,000 years ago that Jesus Christ was born. I do know that a virgin conceived, which was a miracle in itself, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But I do know that, beloved, because I read this in Isaiah 742 years before it happened, it allows me to understand and it allows me to accept and believe that what God said would happen 742 years later. Beloved, when I read the book of Revelation, and beloved, it may be today and it may be tomorrow or it may be 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Beloved, it lets me know that I can believe that He's coming back for me. Amen. Because God keeps His word. And He said, this shall be a sign, a virgin shall conceive. And we'll talk about the particulars of His birth. But you understand this, we see the performance of the promise. But we also see the place of His promise. According to Micah chapter number 5, verse number 2, He says, but thou, Bethlehem, after though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel. Do you understand that God, in the ages of time, before this world ever existed, and before the foundation of the world ever took place, that God had it planned out? I'm beloved, the very day that Jesus was going to be born, I'm the very woman that He was going to bring forth His seed through, I'm the very place, I'm beloved, that He was going to be born. I'm beloved, God had established all of that for you and I. Because remember what the angel said unto the shepherd, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See, sometimes we just think that we were just a haphazard thought of God's mind. That didn't happen. God ain't never thought haphazardly about nothing. Amen. I've always been on His mind. Man, that's what this thing is all about. We ought to be rejoicing about what Jesus has done for us and about what God has done for us during this season. Do you realize this? As I quoted you, Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1, it was no accident. The Bible said this, as I said there in Luke, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Understand, Rome was in charge of the world at that time. Caesar was in control. But God in His plan, because He can turn the hearts of kings as rivers of water. Do you realize that it was God that turned the heart of the Caesar and said, okay, Caesar, I want you to tax everybody in the land because I need Joseph and Mary and Bethlehem.
Amen.
You know why He done that? For you.
That's right.
So God turned the heart of Caesar. Caesar made that decree. And everybody had to go back to where their hometown was to be counted and to be taxed. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. because he was of the house and lineage of David to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. I'm talking about, do you understand God's particulars and his planning for you? The place of his promise. The people of his promise. Go to Matthew chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there's the place, in the days of Herod the king. But I also want you to understand this morning, go back to verse number 20 of chapter 1. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be spoken, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Listen now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. You say, what do you mean the people of his promise? You understand this morning that Mary is the mother of Jesus. Now, if you study out the lineage of Jesus, you'll find here as that when Jesus was born, let me back up a minute. Let me get this. Let me not forget this. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, not made of a man, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When the fullness of time was come, you realize that God was sitting up there on his calendar, and God was looking down through the eons of time, and that day came about, and God said, okay, Holy Ghost, now's the time. The day that we've longed for, the day that we planned for, the day that salvation is beginning to be manifested is today, when the fullness of time was come. You know why Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago and not today? Because the fullness of time was 2,000 years ago. That's rocket science, ain't it? I mean, think about it. God said, okay, this is when I want it to happen. And when the fullness of time was come, God used Caesar to bring Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. But God used Mary also. Do you realize, I'm talking about the planning for you. Back up just a moment. Took 9 months for the child to develop in the womb before it could be brought forth. But think about this. Think about before Mary was born. God already had a plan for her.
Amen.
God already had a plan. As I said, we look through 42 generations of God's planning. But we see that God had a plan for this young lady by the name of Mary. And he had a plan of the time that the Holy Ghost would overshadow her. And understand, he did all of that for us. It was manifested in these last times for you. Let's look here. Let's look at the presentation of the promise. It was redemption's plan being manifested. Now I'm going to read some verses. You can write these down, but I'm going to read them to you, and then I'm going to come back to this in Matthew. And I'll be done here in just a moment. I ain't been preaching but about 20 minutes. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18. Verse number 19 says, But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The very next verse says, Who verily was foreordained before foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. you and me. Now get this. We're looking at the presentation of the promise. Remember, God had promised a sign. All right? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And he was God with us. Amen? He still is. He didn't lose his deity. Amen? He was as much God when he was in the womb. He was as much God when he was walking on the face of this earth. And he was as much God when he died on the cross. He was as much God when he's resurrected as he will be when he comes back and gets us out of here. Amen? But understand this. He said that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers. Now, if you study the book of Matthew in the first 18 verses, you'll find there's other women besides Mary mentioned in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter number 1 right here and let's look at something. Look at verse number 5 in verse. Look in verse. It's all in verse number 5. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. You see, Rahab is mentioned there. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. Okay? There's two ladies that's mentioned in the lineage of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But now I want you to look at this verse. Look in verse number 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. And you say, what are you saying, preacher? Well, these other two ladies, it says that these men were begotten of. Okay? Rahab, and begotten of Ruth. But here, when we get to Mary, when we get to the birth of Jesus, we find that Jesus was of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. What's the importance of a virgin birth? What's the importance? Remember, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Why was he born of a virgin? Why was it? Why was Jesus the Son of God? Because of his blood. Because blood never passes from woman to child. I don't understand how a baby can be in the womb and how that baby can exist off of that mother, but that blood never passes from woman to child. You see, if Jesus had been born of Joseph, he'd had corrupt blood. Because in Adam all die. Wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Understand, the reason you and I are sinners today is because our daddy Adam sinned a long time ago, and death passed upon all men. Amen. But Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost, because, beloved, it was God's blood that was running in his vein. It was precious blood, and, beloved, it wasn't contaminated blood, because it was blood for our redemption. I'm talking about the particulars of Jesus' birth. So we see that he was born. We see that he was born of the virgin. It's the blood that makes the atonement. We see the conception. We see the coming forth. Look in verse number 2, or chapter number 2, Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. The Bible says this about Mary, that she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son. See, scholars will tell you today, non-Bible believing preachers will tell you today, that Mary was just a young girl. No, she was a young girl, but she was a virgin. Amen. She was clean. She was pure. Why? Because she was the mother of my Savior. Now understand this. There's no power in Mary. You can pray to her all day long and you might as well be praying to an oak tree. Because there's no power in her. But thanks be to God, she had found favor with the Lord. And beloved, she offered herself to be used by God. And beloved, God chose her to bring forth His firstborn Son into this world for me. For me. The Bible said, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. You say, why are you saying, preacher? God keeps His word. Amen. He said, this shall be a sign unto you. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. 742 years before it ever happened. And God did it. And we know that it was to a closed audience. There was no room for them in the inn. Y'all remember that? It was a closed audience. As I said last Sunday, man, if I would think that if Jesus was coming, and may I say when He comes the next time, He is coming with the shout. But I mean, think about it just for a moment. When He was born this first time, He wasn't born with a shout. He wasn't born. He didn't come into this world and it was not loudly and widely proclaimed. He was born in a little town called Bethlehem. He was born in a stable because there was no room for them in the inn. It wasn't publicized. You could really say that it was done in the closet. It was done silently. God chose to do that. But then we know that according to the Scriptures that there were also in the same country that there were shepherds abiding in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. But they were so afraid. And this is what I want you to understand. As the angels came and said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Amen. You. He was born for you.
Amen.
No matter who you are. He was born for you. And you know what the shepherds did? They went. They found the child. The Bible said, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying there in the manger. The Bible says this. And as they left, glorifying God and praising God for all that they had seen and done and heard. You understand what we ought to be doing this Christmas season? It's praising God for all that we have seen and done and heard.
Amen.
That God would enlighten us, think about it, to His birth. They don't understand why we're gathered on Sunday mornings. They don't understand why we say Merry Christmas.
Amen.
They don't understand why we don't celebrate Hanukkah. They don't understand. But we do.
Amen.
And we have an obligation and a duty.
Amen.
Just as the shepherds left glorifying God and praising Him for all that they had seen and done and heard, we have an obligation and a duty and responsibility this Christmas season as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, making known to the world what we have got to experience with Jesus. Because just as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, there are many out there that has never experienced what you and I have got to experience. Yeah, it may be behind closed doors, but the fact of the matter is, when the shepherds returned, they returned glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, and they were publishing it around about as as it was told unto them. And beloved, that's what we ought to be doing. Is letting everybody know that you are the reason that Jesus came. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not about the gifts. It's not about the presents. It's not about, I mean, all that's good. I like getting gifts. I do. My name's Nathan. My address is 153 Dugness Road. I like them. That ain't what it is. I like buying gifts for people. Amen. I like surprising them. But guess what? That's not what it's all about.
Amen.
It's about that Jesus and God loved me enough to come into this world, to leave the portals of glory, to come into this world, to be have salvation manifested. God's plan. Remember, it was planned before the foundation of the world. The process began to take place after the Garden of Eden. And then for 62 generations, all through the flood and God preserving Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth. And then as it goes on down through, and then we start with the life of Abraham and those 42 generations before Christ was born. You and I are the reason. We're the reason. Remember, he said they're manifested in these last times for you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'm telling you, we are living in the greatest time that's ever been processed right now in this day called grace. Now, we're going to be living in a better time when He comes back again. And understand this, the angels were shouting when He came the first time, and they're going to be shouting of an angel when He comes the second time. Amen. Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet. And there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Understand this. The world didn't even know that He was born, and beloved, the first time that He came, and they're not going to know that He comes the second time. Only real evidence is going to be they're going to know that we ain't here no more. They're going to say, well, what happened to that crowd? COVID.
Amen.
That's probably what they're going to say. But the fact of the matter is, He's coming back for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Man, what greater gift could we have than a Savior that loves us the way that He does? And a God that keeps His promise to us. That no matter what may come our way, and though even though we may be like Ahaz, and there may be those out there that reject the story, it doesn't change the fact of His promise and His plan for us. And you say, well, preacher, how are we going to make it in these coming days? What's going to happen? I mean, we thought 2020 was bad. And I'll be honest, when we sit here last year and we we're coming up on, and it's amazing to me that we're coming up on 2022. But we sat here and we thought, man, there ain't no way 2021 is going to be as bad as 2020.
Worse.
And we're sitting here and we're like, oh my soul.
Amen.
You know what? Next year may even be worse.
That's true.
But guess what? God's promises is still true. Our Savior is still real. And no matter what comes our way, He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. We're standing all over the house. I want Miss Evan to come back. Our invitation is going to be joy to the world.